In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So would you please do me a favor? Can you go to podsurvey.com/Jamie? That's J-A-M-I-E, podsurvey.com/Jamie, and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You guys, you can buy a lot of great things on Amazon for $100. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Jamie, J-A-M-I-E. Guys, thanks for your help. Go to podsurvey.com/Jamie.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey, Happy Hour family. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving if you live here in America and you listen to the show. I love Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite holidays, and this year looks obviously a lot different, but I still hope that you are able to enjoy some time with your family, whatever that looked like, either side by side, outside, socially distanced, over FaceTime. I don't know. I just pray you had a good day. Today is Black Friday, and also Black Friday will probably look different for a lot of you, but I know some of you are hoping to score some good deals, but I want to let you know, you need to be following me on Instagram. It's at Jamie Ivey, because starting today, we're giving away something for the next 12 days with items from our holiday gift guide. Did you hear the show last week? It's one of my favorite shows we do. If you did not hear it, go back and listen last week. Only on the podcast will you hear the discount codes and everything you might need to know. Every company that we're working with is amazing, and they have some great opportunities for you to shop and get great gifts for your loved ones this year. So starting today, we're going to give stuff away. Make sure you're following me. Today on the show, my guest is Colton Dixon. Colton is a musical artist who earned his professional start on American Idol, which, fun fact, you guys, Colton is now the 1-2-3rd American Idol contestant that I've had on the podcast. How cool is that? Colton really brought a good word today. I finished this interview and immediately texted Lindsay and went, I really liked that conversation. I'm so excited to share it with you. In today's episode, he talks about the hurt and bitterness that he felt after being cut from American Idol, unexpectedly being dropped from his label a few years later, and the terrifying delivery scare that he and his wife Annie experienced just this year with their new twin girls. Colton also talks a lot about stepping into new seasons and how those difficulties really have shaped him. I loved it when he said, without those trials, our faith would be so watered down. Not that God is the source behind the trial, but that he will use it to build our faith. I'm so thankful for Colton's vulnerability as he recalls difficult time, but how he chose to trust God amidst it all. I enjoyed this conversation so much, and I think you will as well. Guys, we've told you about the children that are in the Dominican Republic that are currently waiting to be sponsored through Compassion International. There's a little over 1,000 children who've been waiting for over a year. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a sponsor. We've had dozens of you say that you want to step up and you want to sponsor a child this year. And I want to invite you to join us this year. I know 2020 has been difficult. I know COVID has brought so many unexpected things to people's lives. But I would love for you to think about linking arms with Compassion International and helping a child have their life be affected by the local church and help them not only overcome poverty and not only get an education, but also hear the gospel. When you sponsor a child through this link that I'm going to give you, compassion.com/Ivy, that's my last name, I-V-E-Y. When you sponsor a child through that link from now until the end of 2020, we're going to send you an ornament and a copy of my newest book, You Be You. One thing that is making me so very, very excited. Number one, I'm excited about all of the children that are going to get sponsored in the DR through you guys from now to the end of the holidays. Number two, I'm also excited because I've told you this before and I feel weird talking about it because we don't have plans in place, but I need you to know that we are dreaming of a happy hour plus compassion trip to the DR. We want to be able to go down and for some of you to meet the children that you sponsor. I have met almost all of the children that our family has sponsored, and it is a trip of a lifetime. I would love it for you to pray about and think about sponsoring a child in the DR today. Visit compassion.com/Ivy and you'll be able to see the children there. Most of them have been waiting for over a year. Compassion.com/Ivy for all the details. It's $38 a month. And when we link arms with an organization like Compassion, not only is a child's life changed, not only is a family's life changed, but over time, the community is impacted for the gospel. Together is always better, like I say. Together, you and I, we can change the world for a family today. Go to compassion.com/Ivy for all the details. Okay, friends, here's my conversation with Colton Dixon. Hey, Colton, welcome to the happy hour.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, small little tidbit of information I need to tell you is that I live in Austin, Texas, and you know, this is our first time to meet. So I live in Austin, Texas, been here, I don't know, 12, 13 years, something like that. I spent 5 years in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Isn't that where you live?
I'm outside of Murfreesboro now in Nashville, but Murfreesboro is where I grew up and it's
kind of
hometown vibes. Yeah.
That's awesome. Amazing. Where did you go to church there when you grew up?
I was at Calvary Baptist Church, and then I was at New Vision Baptist Church, which is kind of near the Avenue and all that going on in Murfreesboro. So
listen, if I went to Murfreesboro today, I could not find my way around. I don't even know that I could find the house that we lived in. I'm a Texas girl, born and raised, been back here in Austin for 12 years, but we were there for 5 years. My husband's a musician, so that's what brought us to Nashville. So
love it. That's
amazing. There we were. So that's our little commonality. But thanks for coming on. I'm going to guess that there's not many people who don't know who you are, but just in case, give us your little bio of who Colton Dixon is.
Yeah, well, I'm a musician. I kind of got my professional start on American Idol, which was 8 or 9 years ago now. That's crazy. Tried out with my sister. That's a whole story for another time, maybe. But yeah, God's just been doing amazing things. He's opened door after door after door. I've been doing Christian music ever since then. The last couple of years, signed a deal with a major label, a mainstream label. So that's looked really new and different for me and for my team, but so excited for what God's doing with that platform. So yeah, that is like the really quick, condensed American Idol kid. That's the bio.
And then our listeners are going to want to know, what is the biggest thing that's happened to you in 2020, Colton? Come on now.
So besides a global pandemic, that's actually not the biggest thing that's happened to us this year. My wife and I welcomed identical twin girls into the world just a couple months ago. So they are still wee little babies. They're precious. They're amazing. Their names are Ava Dior and Athens Elizabeth. And they're just the cutest things I've ever seen in my life. They're amazing.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, yes. What you're trying to say is you cannot be held responsible for anything you say in the sleep-deprived state that you are currently in.
That is absolutely correct. There's no telling what's going to come out of my mouth right now.
There's no telling. Well, you know what? This is funny because you're my third person who's been on American Idol to come onto the happy hour. Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
I know. My friend Jimmy McNeil, who was early on on American Idol, and then Mandisa was on just a couple weeks ago before your show will air. And now, Colton, welcome. I just learned a couple of days ago when I was getting ready for this interview that the first time for you to audition was with your sister.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really cool story because are you and your sister close? You were close enough that you're like, okay, I'll go with you and do this. Give us a little bit about how that started.
Yeah. So I've got a really close-knit family, still do, even though I'm on the road a lot. When I'm in town, we get together and hang out. And my parents own an escape game business in Murfreesboro. They just opened up an axe throwing wing. So they're like, are you people?
Oh,
this is amazing. Empty nesters. And yeah.
And now they're throwing axes everywhere.
And now you're throwing axes. Yeah. But my sister and I are very close. So when we initially went to audition, I had no desire. I loved watching the show, but that's about as far as it went for me. My sister really wanted to audition. So I went with her. And as we're waiting outside Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, she's kind of like, you've got a great voice. Why are you not auditioning? And I'm like, just not my thing, you know, not my cup of tea. That just seems really stressful, you know, the whole thing. So she finally just convinces me to audition and we both make it, which was crazy because there were so many more people, way more talented than we were, not making it, you know. So we start advancing, we get to Hollywood Week and that's where she was eliminated, was in Hollywood Week. And I went on to the top 40. And then that season I was cut. I was like, okay, that was fun. Cool experience. I'm done. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
And then the Ellen Show called and she wanted me to go perform. And I've always been a big Ellen fan. Uh-huh. And I just thought that was the coolest thing. So I went and did that, and just more and more opportunities started happening like that. But then it was stand still, quiet.
Yeah.
God was working a lot on me as well on the inside, which was good because I needed it.
And how old were you at the time?
I was 18, 19 years old.
And how old was your sister?
She was 15, 16 years old.
Okay, well, before you go on, I have a couple questions, Colton. Number one is, you are a musician right now. This is your living. This is your job. This is how, I've heard you say in interviews, this is how you get to be Jesus in this way.
Yeah.
But you show up to this audition and were you doing music? Like, this feels like the most like, what are we doing here? Like, you just said yes to your sister because you're a good big brother.
I was doing music. It's so funny when we think we know God's plan and we try and execute it in our own way.
Yeah.
That's very much what was going on right there. Mm-hmm. I had heard other artists apart from American Idol kind of dog it, kind of go, oh, that's such the easy way out or the overnight success thing. So I was like, no, I'm going to make my own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of my thinking going into it. I was totally full of it. You know, it was totally God's plan. I just wasn't savvy with it yet. So as that started to unfold, I was like, I see the big picture here. Yeah. So yeah, that's what was going on.
I read an interview where you said that getting cut from that first American Idol, you got this taste of fame.
Oh yeah.
And then you got cut. And then I didn't realize this. And then you said like the Ellen show called. I would imagine that you're like, I like this. I'm enjoying this. And then you just mentioned God had to teach you some things. What did that look like? Because I always say that one of the greatest things that people desire is to be known, you know? And so that plays out in different ways in people's lives. And so all of a sudden, Colton Dixon was on American Idol and then you get cut. And then the Ellen show calls. What did God teach you in that time?
I think for anyone who's up on a platform in any degree, will deal with pride at some point in their career or life or whatever that looks like for them. And for me, that was a big moment. I felt entitled. I felt like I deserved to be there more so than other people. It was a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
And when I got cut, I wasn't even all that much disappointed in myself as I was bitter.
Mm.
And I was like, I just thought I was hot stuff.
You
know, I was a 19-year-old kid thinking, this is it. And they got it wrong.
Yeah.
And that over that summer was when I got to do things like the Ellen show. And even without those things, God was like, hey man, like I have this plan set out for you, but if you're not going to be ready, then the timing's not right. It's kind of like the Israelites going to the promised land. Should have taken them. It was either 8 or 13 days to get to the promised land. Fast forward 40 years later, because of their bitterness and their complaining or whatever, finally they're able and they're ready.
Yeah.
That was kind of that season for me. I'm glad it didn't take 40 years. Hallelujah. But
thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. It only took, you know, another year, but
yeah.
I'm so thankful for that year because in order to go higher, you got to go deeper. And I didn't understand that going into that first season, but over that summer, God taught me that. So I spent a lot of time just with him and developing that relationship. And then when the next season rolled around, I was ready. And what's hilarious is I wasn't wanting to go back that second season either.
Was it the very next season?
Very next season.
Okay.
My sister wants to go again. Okay. So I'm like, yeah, that's great. I'll be there to support you. I'm really not auditioning this time. You know, I'm good.
Uh-huh.
I thought with those other opportunities that something was going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes into the judge round. And they ask how I'm doing. She's like, oh, he's doing really good. You know, he's here supporting me. And they're like, oh, we'll go get him. So she comes and gets me, brings me in the room. And I am sweating bullets. You know, I have a feeling I know what's coming.
They're going to ask you to sing.
Yeah. Sure enough, they asked me to sing. And what people don't realize about a show like that is there are songs that are cleared and songs that aren't cleared. So they asked me to sing or think of a song while my sister was singing. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't want to ruin my sister's chance of getting aired on television and that whole counterpart that goes along with the show. What's a song that I know they've got cleared? So I started thinking through previous American Idol contestants' songs, you know?
Yeah.
So I picked one, a David Cook song, you know, and sang, and we both made it through again. And it was just the craziest. I was like, okay, obviously I had nothing to do with this. I wasn't forcing my way or trying to audition or any of that stuff. So God, if this is you, great. Let's do it. Let's go as far as we can go. If it's not, end it right now, please.
Yeah.
I don't want this. And I even asked my sister, I'm like, hey, I realized that was a total breach in protocol.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to step on your toes. Like, if you don't want me to go, I won't go. It's really not a big thing for me. And she's like, are you kidding? That would be awesome to have you in Hollywood Week, you know? So she's amazing.
Yeah.
But long story short, she made it to where I did the season previous.
Yeah.
And got cut right before top 40. And that's the year that I made top 10, did the tour. And wow, what a crazy year.
Would you say that's the year that changed your life? I mean, on a professional level, let's say that.
Professional level, yes.
Yeah.
You learn so much. You learn what to do. You learn very quickly what not to do by experience, by doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, such great memories. But it's a crash course in all things music industry. Yeah. You're learning what not to do on the business side because everyone makes mistakes coming off of Idol on the business side.
And
you learn how to tour and how to work a camera and just all of these things that I had no idea, you know, no experience. Mm-hmm. So super thankful.
Let's talk about your faith in the midst of all this.
Let's do it.
Well, I know that you were with Sparrow for a while.
Yeah.
And then now you've signed in with a new label. And so how was that going into Idol? How was that continuing to saying like, okay, I'm a Christian. And what did that look like for you deciding, here's how I'm going to do what I do? Because there's like two sides. I'm going to like do Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm going to do Christian music. Or I'm a Christian. Sure. And I'm going to do whatever else that actually means. So sure. How have you journeyed through that?
Very well said.
Thank you.
Yeah. I actually grew up listening to Christian music. I still love it to this day. It would be my number one choice of listening to music, even just, you know, off the cuff. So going into Idol, that was kind of my extent of my music knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple times where they pulled out songs and I'm like, I feel like I should know this song, but I don't.
That is funny.
For example, this is so bad. Just
you're like
the
sweet
me.
Little Christian boy in there.
Exactly. And they say, hey, you guys are going to sing Yesterday by the Beatles as a group. And I'm like, great. Just
awesome.
One second.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. I don't know how, just living under a rock, I guess. We weren't super sheltered or anything. That was just what I gravitated to. So yeah, crazy. But anyway, so I kind of had that Christian music goal anyway, but coming off of Idol, I saw that God was doing something that could look different than what I wanted. Even just rewind to that first season, trying to make it happen for myself. I'm like, okay, God, like, all limitations off. You're out of the box. Let's do it your way because it's going to be way better than mine.
Yeah.
So I prayed like, man, as I go into these writing sessions, make it clear and make it known what market I need to go into. If we start writing, you know, songs that could be about a girl or it could be about Jesus, I'll have my answer. Or if it's like straight up worship stuff, great. I've got my answer. And the first couple songs I wrote were my first two singles that we released to Christian radio, Never Gone and You Are.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, this seems pretty obvious to me. Let me see what my team thinks. And they're like, yeah, you should do the Christian thing.
Yeah.
I think they would be excited and, you know, just all those things. So we met with Sparrow. They were amazing. I still love those people to death. They're still family to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, a couple years ago, switched gears. I always hear artists talk about like the one record that doesn't connect well with audiences or connect as well as they hoped. And I had one of those records, still a record that I believe in and put my heart and soul into, but you never know.
Yeah.
And so I was in that season and surprisingly got dropped from my label. And it was that was a tough couple months.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife said something that was so good for us. She said, I know this seems like a setback, but what if God is actually just setting you up and preparing you for what's next?
Mm.
I've learned in life that in order to step into a new season, you have to let go of the old season.
Mm.
God is always stirring up something new every single day.
Yeah.
So if you're so busy holding on to those, even if they're great moments, even high moments with God, if you're holding on to those, he's not going to be able to do anything new.
Mm.
So that was kind of that season of learning to let go, as hard as it was, and blindly step out and go, I don't know what this looks like yet, but I trust you.
Yeah.
You've come through time and time again. This time will be no different. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and a few months go by, and Atlantic Records actually reached out and were interested in doing a deal. Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Not on my radar at all. Huge fans of several other artists. But so this has just been a crazy 2-3 years of writing songs that not only I believe in, but songs that people who would never step foot in the church could also get on board with. Mm-hmm. And that's super important to me, has been from the beginning.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to have the right platform to service that side of things.
Yeah. Your new song, Miracles.
Yes.
I want to talk about that song, first of all, because that song, obviously, because I know how my husband's a songwriter and a worship pastor. So I know how songwriting works is you didn't write that song for COVID, like, you know, but it came out in the midst of all this. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. And you didn't write that song after you went through what you did with your daughters in the hospital, which I'll talk about that in a minute.
Right.
So it's crazy how God sets these things up, right? That you write something and go, wow, it's so relative right now. And I wrote this forever ago. My question before we talk about Miracles is, with your fans, with your people who have loved your music forever, have you had any pushback from that kind of switch? Or does it feel like a switch, or is it only like an internal? Like, you know what I'm trying to say is, like, have you had any pushback? Like, oh, Colton, are you selling out on us? Because I hate it when I hear that, Colton, first of all.
But I totally get it.
I hate it.
That's a great question, actually. And there was a little bit of concern internally in our team, like, hey, we really want to be intentional here and make it known that I'm the same person, same beliefs, same mission. It's just through a little bit of a different lens.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. People have been extremely welcoming and supportive.
Love it.
Which I didn't fully expect, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I've even been one of those people growing up, like, I won't name names.
We all know. It's okay. Yeah.
You know, I listen to a band and I'll hear one version of a song for Christian radio, and then I hear a different version of the song. They change, you know, and I was just like, pick one.
Yeah.
Have you not read the verse about being lukewarm? Pick one, you know, just that whole thing. And now, being on the artist side, I understand, because that band or those bands that I listened to, they had an opportunity to reach a completely different audience who would never open a Bible or go to church. Yeah. So if you have that opportunity, obviously don't necessarily sell out your beliefs in order to do so. But if you can carry those beliefs and just package them a little differently, same truth, just packaged differently, do it. That's what we're called to do, is to go and make disciples of many nations. So that's what I'm trying to do. And like I said, I'm so excited to be able to do that with this mainstream platform who's also extremely supportive of the Christian market.
So, I love it so much. Okay, talk about your new song, Miracles, because it's such a good song.
Thank you. There's so many things I could talk about with Miracles. Miracles came out of that season of not having a label, looking around, going, what's next? But since we were kind of forced to slow down during that season, we saw God come through in so many ways that we either took for granted or were just too busy to notice. It could be as simple as, like, hey, we're alive today and we're breathing and we're going to get through it. And the fact that we woke up today is a miracle in and of itself. We had so many things happen. Radio stations started playing some of my older songs more. So, like, my publishing checks or royalty checks, whatever, never skipped a beat.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you, God. You know, obviously I know where that comes from. So that was a cool season for us, a faith building season.
Yeah.
And then I got to write the song with songwriting legend. His name is Busby, and he's done stuff with Adam Lambert, Pink, with Maren Morris. I'm just a stud of a songwriter producer. So I write this song with Busby. He's a Christian as well. So we're able to chat a little bit. And a couple months go by, and I'm hitting him up about a new demo, new update. And he lets me know that they found a tumor in his brain. And I'm like, what? Like, just totally out of left field. And a couple months after that, he was gone. So as a believer, you're holding on to these very words that you just wrote. It's like, God, I still believe in miracles. And the very person that you shared that moment with, it, for whatever reason, that miracle didn't happen. And I'm telling you, that's difficult, and that's challenging, and that's testing. I don't think we're going to understand everything on this side of eternity. Sometimes things happen that we don't understand or can't comprehend. But one thing that I do know to be true is that God is good regardless of the situation in all seasons. He also takes that which is meant for evil and turns it for the good of those who love God and follow him according to his purpose. So that's what I'm holding on to with Busby.
So good.
But it's been so cool to see how well this song has done and how many people this song has reached.
Yeah.
you know, every once in a while, we actually took a Polaroid picture the day we wrote the song. It's in my studio, looking at it right now. And every so often, I'll just look and be like, you did that. Mm. Like, you know, it's just a really cool.
That's cool.
A cool thing that I get to have as I see people listening to the song, as I play the song live, which hopefully will happen more and more. But that was a really cool moment.
That's really cool. And I find it so interesting in the middle of 2020, when everyone kind of having the moment that you had when you wrote Miracles was this moment of, I'm in this dry season. I don't know what's ahead. My future is unknown. I had to let go of something, or got let go of something, however that happens to people. And this produced you, this faith building season within you and your wife. And now here we are, getting to hear the song that you wrote in the middle of, most everyone is having that kind of season in one way or another this year. And so I just think it's so cool of God to give you those words and that song. And he knew it was going to be released in the middle of a global pandemic, you know, and in the middle of all, it's just, it's crazy the way God works. And I don't know that we'll ever understand it, but isn't that, it's just amazing. And we're thankful for that.
It really is. It's also terrifying as a songwriter. When you write something, it's like, whoa, that's heavy. I'm thinking, oh, Lord.
What's coming?
What's coming?
Exactly.
Is it me or is this for someone else? Right. This is for someone else.
Exactly.
If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own. You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com.
Let's talk about this real quick. You and your wife, Annie, you said earlier you guys just welcomed your twin girls, which is congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I have four
much.
Kids, and so parenting is the best and the hardest thing that I'll ever do. But you guys had a really big scare when your girls were born.
We did.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'll preface it by saying she had just the picture perfect pregnancy, didn't throw up once. Just,
oh my gosh. Just, all the women are like, oh,
exactly. Like, she is the exception to all of those rules. She just rocked it. And with twins, no less, just killed it. She went into labor naturally. So we go to the hospital, and with every new nurse and technician and doctor that came in, they're like, man, these are the happiest twins we've ever seen on a monitor. So we were just like on cloud nine.
Look at my girls. I'm so proud of them. They're happy before they even get here.
It was like the best experience ever.
Yeah.
But the experience kept going and going and going. So after about 30 hours of, you know, on and off labor, our doctor was finally like, hey, things aren't really progressing the way we want, which is fine. There's no reason to be alarmed, but I think we should move to plan B. It's time to get these babies out. And we're like, yes, let's do that. My wife especially is like, yeah, let's do that. So we moved to C-section. So we moved to the OR, and again, had no reason to really be worried. And they pulled out our firstborn, Ava Dior, by 30 seconds. They were both born at 9 p.m. It's just like, it's hilarious. But they pull her out and she is just gray.
This is your first one?
First.
Okay.
And we're like, I'm thinking, well, I've never seen, you know, the birthing experience in person before, like newborn. I don't think they're supposed to look like that.
Yeah.
And she wasn't even really moving, and it was hard to watch. Mm. But they bring her over to our left, which is, they had two NICU teams in the room. It was a zoo, the people everywhere. They bring her over to our left and bring out the oxygen bag to resuscitate her. And they've got all the things.
Can you and your wife see all this happening?
She can. And she was surprisingly aware of everything, but she was calm. But I looked, and I'm sure it was all over my face what was happening, and she was looking at me. So I'm so concerned for what's going on here. Yeah. But then I also realize, okay, I'm kind of like she knows what's happening, but I don't know if she fully understands how big it could be. Mm-hmm. So she's getting that information from my face. So how do I calm her down while still pouring what I need to in here? And, it felt like eternity. It was probably only a minute long, but they got a heartbeat, they got a breathing, and slowly color started coming back to her. And we were just like, oh, that whole time, it's kind of like when your life flashes before your eyes, everything's in slow motion. That's kind of how it felt. And I knew that we were faced with the decision. It's like, man, do we actually put our money where our mouth is and have faith that God is going to come through here? Or do we give in to fear? Because the easier option was just to open the door to fear, because it was knocking really loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we started to pray. And I grew up Southern Baptist, but I think some Pentecostal came out of me that day. I don't know.
All the Southern Baptists have the Pentecostal come out of them in those moments. So we're here for it.
That's right. So we started praying and started binding up the enemy, because it was an obvious attack from the enemy. Just like, man, like, you have no place here. You have no authority here. This is my family, and I take full ownership and responsibility. It just went through the whole thing, you know, and then watched. She came back to life, and amazing doctors and nurses, but also obviously God was there in the room with us, and we're so thankful. But yeah, it was a scary thing. And I would love to say that she was all fine and dandy after that and everything's great, but she spent a week in the NICU and didn't get to come home with us with her sister. And that was, gosh, that was not just as hard, but man, leaving the hospital without her was awful. Mm-hmm. You walk into the NICU and it's just such a heavy place. And you realize, man, some of these babies might have it better, but a lot of them have it worse than our daughter right now. And seeing other parents, and you know what they're going through. It's a tough place. So anytime Annie and I were in there, we would just kind of be like under our breath, be praying for all the babies in there. Be like, God, this room is going to be empty. Like, in Jesus' name, it's going to be empty. You know, just all those things. And it's just a crazy experience. But again, something I said earlier on in our conversation, without those trials, our faith would be so watered down.
Yeah.
Not that God is the source behind the trial, but again, he will use it to build our faith.
Yeah.
So I always want to take on those seasons head on with and use my faith, because I know at the other end of it, it's going to be stronger because of it.
Yeah. It's so true. Everything that we've talked about today, from like your first time on American Idol and having to walk through and kind of do some kind of heart searching and soul searching about what is it about this that I want and love? Yeah. And then even, you know, with your job and your music industry, and then with this, it's like all of these experiences in our life, everyone can relate to what you're saying, even if we've never stood on a stage and sung or had a record label or had twin girls when one born without a pulse. Like all of these things are relatable because life can just be so difficult sometimes. And so I'm grateful for your words and your music and encouraging people in those moments.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Life doesn't happen always the way we want it to, but
I think most times it doesn't, Colton. Like, let's be honest.
True that. But I think the important thing is how we respond.
Yeah.
And I think that's what God looks at as well.
Yeah.
So
how has new parenting been? First time dad, two babies at home. What's it been like?
Yes. Amazing. Exhausting. Sometimes disgusting. But I will cap it off with saying amazing again. There's no experience like it. My wife and I didn't sit down and officially have the we're ready conversation. So our first one was a surprise. And then we go in 13 weeks after, you know, the positive test. And our technician is like, there's two of them. And I about pass out. I'm like, oh, dear God, you know.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't have it any other way. We know no different. So some people are like, how are you doing it with two? And we're like, we don't know what it's like with one.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm kind of thankful for that. But it's been amazing. We love them. They're sleeping well. We're trying to stretch their sleeping schedule out a little bit further.
But of course you are. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I'm about to turn into the old grandma right now. Are you ready?
Come on. Wisdom, please.
Well, it's not wisdom other than you literally, everyone will tell you this, Colton, and you're going to be like, okay. Womp, 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 womp. You will blink. You will blink.
Yeah.
And I have a 16-year-old. He's a junior in high school. I took my 14-year-old out on a date last night. We sat at the bar and ate sushi together. Not a bar with drinks, a sushi bar.
Sure.
And it's just in a moment they will go. So enjoy. Enjoy those babies and enjoy the moments. Even though it's difficult, know that it one day they'll be 15 years old and you'll be eating sushi at the bar with them. And where did time go?
I know.
So, so great.
That is wild to think about. I know. Even seeing they've almost doubled in size already 2 months in, and you're just like,
what do we do? What happened? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. No, not okay with this. You know,
they're
already not fitting into some of their clothes. And we're like, no, it's happening.
It's happening.
It happens quick.
I always ask people things they're loving and what they're reading and stuff like that. And I'm so intrigued because you, I don't know if you remember this or not, you wrote down that you're loving Baby Formula Keurig. Is this what I think it is? Because I have a coffee Keurig, and if this is what I think it is, you need to inform me.
Yeah. So I'm going to inform everyone.
Okay.
It's by a company called Baby Brezza.
Okay.
B-R-E-Z-Z-A is the last word. And the formula powder goes in top. You fill it with water, just like a Keurig. You select your ounces, hit start, and in 10 seconds, you have a bottle, right temperature, ready to go.
This is
saved
amazing.
Our lives.
Amazing.
Like, it's not that expensive either. It's worth every penny. If it was $1,000, I would say buy it. It's worth your time.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. It game changer. Absolute game changer. They also have a version that's just the water too, if you'd rather do that, which is super
cheap.
Just
heats up the water a little bit?
Yes, which is the biggest hurdle with bottles. It's like you sit there under the faucet or, you know, it's just like, and it's 3 a.m. and you're just like, why, you know, amazing.
That reminds me when you said that, my second child came home through adoption. So our first is biological and then the second one's adoption. So we lived in Murfreesboro and I remember, this is what I remember about what you just said. It sparked a memory in me is I had this little like, it almost like, do you have a charger where you just put your phone on it and it charges a little circle thing? Okay. So it was like that, but it was a heater thing for a bottle. And I remember in the middle of the nights and my husband would probably out of town because he was always out of town. I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just saying it's a true fact. Sure. He was always out of town. I remember I would make a bottle and then I would put it on that thing and push the button and then it would warm it up. But what you're telling me is it does both and I'm here for it.
Yes.
I'm not having any more babies, but when I have grandkids, I will use it.
Yes.
Yes.
The warmer is great. We have one that you fill it with water and it kind of does the same
thing.
But the all-in-one.
Oh my gosh.
Game changer. Absolutely game changer.
This might become like what I'm going to get new parents for a gift. Like, this is the baby Keurig.
The best gift they never knew they needed.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Here's another thing, Colton. If we were like planning out things, you could make something for a new parent that you could make a cup of coffee and a bottle at the same time. Because then you're like, the baby needs the bottle. I need the coffee. Here we go. I don't know. I didn't start drinking coffee until our second kid. Like, I wasn't a coffee drinker ever until we had two kids. And then I was like, I'm going to need some coffee in my life.
I'm going to need some caffeine.
I'm going to need some caffeine.
I get it. I started not that long ago, and the timing couldn't have been more perfect.
I know. I know.
Because I would have started anyway. Yeah.
Okay. So y'all are loving this Keurig thing, which I'm so intrigued by. What else? You love TV, your reader. What else you got going on in your day or your life?
So a couple of weeks before we gave birth to the twins, Annie's parents came and stayed with us just to help us get everything ready. We were fish out of water with, you know, all those things. They were so sweet to do so.
Yeah.
And Annie has been with her parents ever since. When I have shows, I'll go off and I'll come back and join back up with the village that it takes to run the house, you know.
Yeah.
But her parents are really into a show called Blue Bloods with Tom Selleck.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I watched it, I was like, yeah, it's kind of what I expected.
Uh-huh.
And then the night after that, I'm like, we watching Blue Bloods tonight, you know?
I'm here and for this.
We have been binging Blue Bloods. It's like, I normally don't do TV shows like that. I'm normally, you know, like Stranger Things or, you know, something like that. But we have been all in on Blue Bloods. Can't wait for the next season. You know, we're fans.
Whenever I think of Tom Selleck, I think of when I was growing up. I'm 42. So he was on like, what was it? Was it Magnum P.I.? I'm going to totally.
Oh, yeah.
Magnum P.I. I'm right. Okay. Yes. And I remember my mom always would say, like, he's so handsome. And Tom's, I think he's still so handsome. You know, that's so funny that he's still doing it. He's the guy. Yep. He's the guy. Okay. What are you reading these days?
I actually just finished a book by John Bevere.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Bait of Satan. It looks and sounds really scary. I don't necessarily recommend busting it out on an airplane because people give you weird looks.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's actually what the idea behind it is what has inspired a song on my EP called The Devil is a Liar. But the whole idea is that there's two categories in life. God said the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundant. So when you separate life into those two categories, you realize what's truth and what's a lie a lot more quickly than when you just let life happen to you.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is like, don't take the bait. The enemy's a liar. And he goes into different aspects. Man, one that was just so good and applied to me, I'm sure applies to a lot of church people, is being offended at church.
Mm.
It's like, whoo, it's just so good. You know, how you leave one thing is how you're going to start the next thing. So just thinking twice before becoming offended.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know as if we should ever be offended. I think that's a choice that we make. And whenever you become offended, you give your power and your authority over to whatever it is offending you. You submit to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many things like that in his book. It's just really good. I think it's like the book that every Christian should read during 2020.
There you go. Okay.
It's just really good. So
I love the Bevere, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. Do it. It's an easy read too.
Okay.
So yeah, really good.
Colton, it has been such a joy to spend my morning with you.
Yes, it has.
Congrats on the twins.
Thank you so much.
Congrats on the new label and the EP that just came out. And so I look forward to hearing a lot more wonderful stuff from you. So thanks for joining me on the Happy Hour.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. It's fun.
I told you guys I love this show. I was so impressed with Colton, and I'm so thankful to hear that his twin girls are happy and healthy. And how amazing is that there is a baby formula Keurig? Listen, you guys, if you're like, I need this in my life, did you know that we link all the things in the show notes? We do. Go to jamieivy.com, look at the podcast, and you will be able to find the show notes and be able to find all this. Also, we're linking his song, Miracles. Make sure you go check it out. Today's show was edited and mixed by the team at Podshaper, and the music was developed for the show by Matt Graham. Show notes are written by Abigail Castell, and the whole thing is organized by Lindsay Sweeney. Guys, enjoy your week. Share the show with a friend. Have a happy hour with a friend. Come back here next week and hear my conversation with a friend of the happy hour. She's been here before, Jamie Grace.